It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt, your host this morning. Miss Monica's over helping Miss Tina learn all about the iPad this morning. Monica's doing her woohoo. You know, she's always full of it. I mean, she's full of joy. She's full of the Lord. And I appreciate her spirit so very much. Our very special guest today, Nate Hicks. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm great. Pastor at Grandview Assembly.
Yes.
And I just met you yesterday.
Brand new.
I just met you yesterday, and I'm just so thrilled to have you here today. You know, we had a little swap of guests today, so I had this opening, and you were willing, and I was glad, and I rejoiced.
Well, I'm glad you were glad, and so I'm glad we could be here and be a part of the community.
Right. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, you can post it right on our Facebook page, or you can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. One other way that you can send it is to our phone, 580-485-0837. So several ways you can get us your prayer requests. Also, our Facebook sponsor today is Joshua's Crossing Ministry right here in the Promise Center. And we do appreciate each one of our sponsors. Joshua's Crossing offered us this room 3 years ago, and we have enjoyed it so much. It's just such a special place to have the Hour of Power. We do record in two parts, and we post it over on our website. After the hour is over, it takes a little while to get it on there. And yesterday we had a little snag and didn't get both parts posted, but hopefully we'll get past that today. There's just always a hurdle sometimes, not always, but often there's a hurdle we have to get over. But you know what? God is able, and we get past that hurdle. It may take us an extra day. I think I've covered everything, maybe. So, Nate, will you pray to start us out?
Father, you're good. We thank you for today. This is a fresh start, that God is faithful as the sun is to rise. Your promises and your loving kindness and your mercy are new to us every morning. Lord, we thank you that we're two or more gathered in your name. You're with us. And so, Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just ask for your blessing and your grace to cover us in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to do something just a little bit different than we usually do. Since you're new to the community and new to us,
yes.
I'd like for you to share just a little bit of background like you shared with me yesterday.
Okay.
You've been teaching at Southwestern and those things, your family.
And we are, it's really funny because we're not only on the air, we're being videoed, so I've always been told that I had a face for radio and a voice for cartoons, so I don't know that I really am going to be that great.
We don't care what somebody's told you. That's wrong.
One thing that I really hate is to listen to my own voice. I don't know if anybody else is like that. I experience a lot of people that they really hate to listen to themselves.
Yeah.
And but it's okay. God's good and he's gracious, so we can take our little bit and let him we can take our ordinary and he can make it extraordinary, right? And so we came here from, and actually we still haven't moved yet. We're still trying to sell a house in Weatherford, and we need to buy a house in Elk City. And we are praying, so if you're out there listening, we need prayer that a house will sell in Weatherford, Oklahoma for Nate and Jolie Hicks. For the past 23 years, we lived in Weatherford. We moved there in 1999 to work at Life Fellowship Church. We were on staff there until April of this year in some capacity. My wife has done worship ministry. I originally came to do youth ministry, and I've also done college ministry, which there on the SWASU campus is called Chi Alpha. So shout out to all of our Chi Alpha alumni and all the people in the Western Oklahoma that have been a part of that great ministry. And then worked for the past 4 years part-time being the associate pastor there at the church. And during that during that past 4 years, and actually for a year before that, I also worked at SWASU. I was a professor in the School of Business, taught entrepreneurship and management, and my wife teaches in the College of Arts and Sciences, Language and Literature, so she's mostly English Comp 1, English Comp 2, you know, your favorite subjects in school are English.
Certainly.
And you would think we'd all be very good at English since we speak it every day, but apparently English is a lot tougher than what we actually know, and so she's one of the favorites up there, but she does a great job with students, and then she's also over all of the English education majors, so those who are going to go out and teach secondary English, she is kind of the coordinator for all of them, and helps them to really know how to apply English in the high school and junior high classroom. So we did have a lot of influence, and we've had a lot of good times. We are new here. We've been at Grandview Church now for a little bit over a month. We started July 3rd, and that is that's been a great. Just great people, wonderful people. We've got some great staff members. Sue Poole does all of our operations. She's our operations pastor. She also takes care of administration. And she's dynamite.
Yes, and she is.
I mean, she is a go-getter. We have an incredible children's pastor, Mandy Mason. She's been there for, I think, 8 or 9 years, and just does an incredible job with the kids. And she's about their same height, so sometimes you'll go back there and it doesn't look like there's an adult in charge, but Mandy's back there and she's got the troops going. So she does a phenomenal job, and we have a few people that fill in as in part-time roles that they work full-time professions, and then also such as Jarek Johnson and his wife Taylor Johnson, who are doing our youth ministry, and they are reaching out to our junior high and high school students. And then also we have an incredible worship leader, Kayla Ely. She's doing a great job, and she's working very hard, and she absolutely has a voice for God and a heart to match. So she's
good.
Just doing incredible. So we're loving it. And you know, I never thought that we would move to Elk City, Oklahoma. Just never saw that as us moving west from Weatherford. Thought we'd probably go east, get closer to maybe a larger metropolitan area. And God opened the door out here, and we just kind of laughed at first. And then, as many of us all often do when God's opening a door, we kind of go, "Really, God? Is that really you?" And my wife and I, through this process, have come up with a new phrase. And it's every time we hit one of those impossible possibilities that God, you know, it's only God that's doing it. And, or you get in the middle of what you think God's called you to do and it gets hard, or something comes up that's unexpected. We just kind of laugh and say, "You're funny, Jesus." So I think God has a sense of humor sometimes that he is putting us in positions just to see how we will respond. And, you know, if we keep drawing close to him, he's going to work things out.
That's right. That's right.
And it may not be how we want or how we think, but he's always working things out.
Yeah.
And sometimes we move, and a move can feel a lot like moving to a foreign land, especially in small towns, because you have people who have known each other since kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And so to come in and break into groups and break into the community sometimes it's a very, very hard thing to do. So we're very grateful for all the people who have reached out to us and who are making us feel at home, even though we still aren't living here yet and commuting. But, you know, Elk City's just been a really, just a really neat town.
It's a warm, outreaching town, isn't
and
it?
And I say a town, it's really a city. But all of our city officials, please don't get mad at me for calling it a town. But we are, but it's a very warm city. Mm-hmm. And some people have asked me, you know, what's the difference between Elk City and Weatherford? And you know, population and size wise, they're very, very similar. Average household income, very similar. If you look at the demographics from the Census Bureau, they're very similar in many ways. But the one thing that stands out is, hope my Weatherford friends don't get mad at me, but it seems that Elk City is a little bit more of a down to earth, more of a hardworking blue collar feel. And so the people are just hardworking people. They love their families, love God. So that's one of the big things. I'm not saying that the people in Weatherford don't, but I think it's overly clear and abundant here in Elk City. So that's one of the things we've really liked about it.
Good. Well, I usually do this about halfway through the program, ask the pastors to tell what the hours are at their church, what the programs are. So you want to share that right now since we're talking about all the things of your ministry.
Sure. So our main service is on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We have donuts and coffee and different things in the morning. And usually people start meandering in around 9:30 and just have some fellowship time and talk and catch up. I don't know, was it? It's an old Randy Travis song that says the old men talk about the weather and old women sit and talk about old men. I think I guess that's what they do there in the mornings before church starts. But yeah, 10 o'clock every Sunday morning, we have a full nursery for newborn to age three. And then we have a Sunshine Kids, which is ages 3 to 5. And then we also have a kids program every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And this Sunday, we're having a baptismal service. So we have 9 people going to be baptized Sunday morning. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to do it in a brand new way for, at least for Grandview Church, that is. And then, so that's really cool. Coming up in September 23rd and 24th, a lady in our church has had such a heart and a vision. It's Renee Kilhoffer. And she's had such a heart and vision for women of Western Oklahoma. And there's actually going to be a sisterhood conference Friday night and into Saturday, Saturday morning into mid-afternoon. And they're bringing in some video teaching out of James River Church in Springfield, Missouri. Little tiny church up in Springfield of about 25,000 people. Right. You know, one of those little churches. And but then also have some live speakers and sharing. So that's coming up in September 23rd and 24th. So that's just around the corner.
Yeah.
And so maybe sometime you can get Renee on. She'd be a great one to have come and talk about that. But then also every Wednesday night we have a kids program and a youth program that starts at 6:30 every Wednesday. And then throughout the week that we have women's coffee talk every Monday night, and Renee puts that together. And then it's so a lot of things going on, tons of small groups and small Bible studies that go on around the church all the time. So there's always something, seems like there's always something going on.
Yeah. We've had Renee on the program a while back.
Okay.
And so I need to just get with her again because I know she has a job. She has to work it in around,
right,
you know.
Right.
But I've known her quite a long time. She's one of my favorites.
Yes.
Sweet, sweet person.
She sure is. Yeah. Great heart.
Well, thank you for sharing all of that and giving our listeners a little insight into your life, your background, and the things going on at your church. So I guess if you're ready to dig in, we're ready. I got my note tablet here to take some notes. And so we're ready to get started on the message that you have on your heart today.
Well, I'm really, and I tell people this all the time, that probably preaching is one of the things I like the least about being a pastor. Most pastors love the preaching and hate dealing with people, and I love dealing with people and would rather not preach. So I'm not much of a I don't consider myself a great orator, but I love to see people's lives change. So therefore I'm always bringing the Word of God to life and hoping to. But so we're in the middle of a transition and a move. And it took me back to a time in Israel, in their history, that they were in a transition time where God sent them into captivity into Babylon because they had lost their connection with God. They had lost their insight that God was their provider, and they started following other ways, or they just kind of started ignoring God. Maybe not everybody in the land was an idol worshiper, but they had quit worshiping God the way he had called them to. And we see that happen a lot, but there in the middle of it, God sent them into a foreign land. But even in the middle of a foreign land, amazing things can happen.
That's right.
And so when we were coming here, we were voted in on July 3rd, and we thought, why are we moving further away from our kids? And we have three grown adult children. Two are married, and one is in school at SWASU. And we thought, why move far away? And 4 days later, our daughter-in-law was approached by the owner of Cinderella's Dance here in Elk City and was asked to buy out her property and her clientele list. And within just a few days of us being voted, and we had no idea this was ever going to take place, our daughter-in-law and son now are the proprietors of Cinderella's Dance in Elk City, and may at some point, we don't know, but at some point could probably move here.
We had an article about her, but I had no idea she was connected to you, Micah, of course.
Yes.
It was in the Elk City paper, two or three weeks ago.
And so sometimes we feel like, God, why are we going through this, or why are you taking us to this place? And then you get to the other side and you see things work out. So Israel had that happen. But even in captivity in Babylon, there were some great things that happened because we got the book of Daniel. And we get the story that every kid knows in kids' church of Daniel in the lion's den. Mm-hmm. You had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You had Esther. The whole story of Esther comes out of this time in captivity. Then you get the books of Haggai, Ezekiel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and the book of Jeremiah, where one of the probably most quoted scriptures, and I'm telling you, this scripture is probably tattooed on more people than any other scripture in the history of humanity, and it's Jeremiah 29:11, which we know, God knows the thoughts that he has towards us, thoughts to prosper us and bless us and give us hope and a future, and that God's thoughts towards us are always good. And so that passage is probably, like I said, one of the most most quoted or most tattooed, and it seems to be everywhere. And people want to know that they have hope in a future, right? And no matter where we go and where life takes us, we want to know there's a hope in a future. And we believe that coming to Elk City, meeting the people here and the community, we believe there's a hope in a future here in Elk City. So if everybody who has that verse tattooed on them just would live it, our world would be a much, much better place.
Amen to that, brother.
But what is what's really unique about it, though, is that we know the promise, which is Jeremiah 29:11, but we forget that there are conditions or requirements that go along with it. And this is true in most contracts. Most contracts require an action by both parties. And while God says, I'm going to bless you and I have hope in a future for you, there's also the part that we have to do and put into motion. And so the first thing that really I kind of wanted to touch on was that God's plan involves us being involved in our communities. And so our community has to become something that we love, regardless of who's in that community, whether we agree with their actions or not. Jeremiah 29:7 comes before 29:11, and 29:7 says this: seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So one of the things that we have instituted is that we want to have a lot of prayer for our city. We want to pray over the businesses. We want to pray over industry. We want to see our city bring in industry beyond just oil and gas. But we also want oil and gas to prosper. We want to see, because if our city prospers, we prosper. Mm-hmm. And so God has called us to be a part of the community. And if you remember, Babylon wasn't known for being a really godly centered culture, right?
Right?
So God takes them into the middle of an ungodly place. And so sometimes we feel like we're in exile as believers, that maybe we're the only believer in our job site, or we're the only believer in our school, or we're the only believer in our classroom, or that it can be tough. Sometimes it feels like, because we carry the mark of Jesus Christ, that we are exiled, but we're not alone. And it's important that if we want to see the Jeremiah 29:11 blessing, we need to do some Jeremiah 29:7 praying.
Amen.
Praying for the prosperity and the peace of our communities. Excuse me for a second. I'm going to take a drink.
Okay. I might drink with you.
Yeah. I got my throat gets a little dry in the mornings. So And this is an overall general principle of seeking the prosperity and the peace of the city in which God's put you, or the place that God's put you. And you can do that. You can walk into your workplace. You can walk into your school. You can walk into any location in this city and declare that, hey, this is, I'm here, so God's here. And many times we forget that Moses was at the burning bush, and God said, remove your sandals because the place that you are standing is holy ground. And sometimes I think the church would like to go out in the desert and find that exact spot, and they'd put sand in a bottle and say, a bottle of holy ground. And that is, I think that the idea is that wherever you and the presence of God are in coexistence, that is holy ground.
Amen.
So when we walk into Walmart, I declare this, I'm on holy ground. Mm-hmm. When I walk into my church, I declare I'm on holy ground. When I walk into my home at night, I declare I'm on holy ground. This is God's property. So we want to make sure that we are continuously praying over our city and for our city authorities, commissioners, whether it be city councilmen, whether it be our mayor, whether it be people who have positions of prominence within the city. It all works together for good. And then the second thing that's kind of in that passage of Jeremiah 29 verses 7 through 14 is that God's plan has a timer on it. And God tells the people, you know, I'm going to take you out of exile in 70 years. And I'm sure that this is a little bit of my business professor side, my management professor side coming out. But you've probably heard of SMART goals. If you're gonna set goals, make sure they're SMART goals. And SMART's an acronym for specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-based or time-bound. So they have to have a time frame within which SMART goals work. And we see that God, all of his goals are SMART. Mm-hmm. he's got things worked out we could never imagine or think of. Mm-hmm. And so, but there's a timer. And God has his plans, and he's placed you where you are for right now. And it doesn't mean that this is where you will always be, but my wife and I learned something a long time ago in ministry. And it was whenever we were first starting out and we were volunteers, we weren't getting paid. We were actually told we were going to get paid.
and it just never happened.
And when the first paycheck was supposed to come, they came and said, well, we overshot the budget and we don't have the money to pay you guys. And so we started praying, well, God, was this not your will? And God spoke to us and said, did you follow me or did you follow money? And so we were like, okay, God. So we stayed there for a year and a half doing ministry. And during that year and a half, we were getting continuous phone calls. Hey, I've got a church. Would you come and take it over? I'm going to retire. Hey, we're looking for a youth pastor. We can pay you a good salary. Hey, we're looking for this. We're looking for that. My wife's father lives in Texas. And he even came to us and said, I'll give you 5 acres of land to build a house on, and I'll give you $50,000 to start a business. and so we're praying and praying and praying, and is this your will, God? Is this your will, God? And one morning, early in the morning, I was up praying, and God just spoke into my heart and said, why don't you just serve like where I've called you is where you will die? Hmm. And I went, wow, I haven't been doing that. I've been looking at all the other possibilities that I forgot that God's called me here for this time. Mm-hmm. And so we switched our focus and we really started pouring into the church. Still, we weren't receiving any type of compensation or payment. And in that, God worked out one of the most amazing things that brought us to Weatherford, Oklahoma. And we came to Weatherford, Oklahoma, thinking this is where we'll die and we'll work here like it is. We spent 23 years there. We raised 3 children. and just the... You know, there's something about raising your children in a small town that is phenomenal. They get to know people. People know them. I think it's a really good recipe for success if you're raising kids. And so we were able to do that. We didn't have to move. And we prayed, God, can you give us a place that's stable? Because we have friends in ministry. And one person in particular that we knew, they had been in 12 churches in 14 years.
Mm.
And every time they got, and they spent 2.5 years at our church in Weatherford. So that was, you know, so really they were in 11 churches in 12 years or something like that. So just phenomenal rate of moving. And we just prayed and said, God, will you let us bloom where we're planted. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the big things that we have to do as believers is bloom where we're planted. And we're really hoping that we get to come and bloom again here in Elk City. So that's something that God has called us to. God has good plans for us.
Amen.
They're not plans for failure or defeat. God was not happy that his nation, that the nation of Israel had to go into captivity. That wasn't what God was mm-hmm. wanting. He just wanted their hearts turned back to him. And that's always the end goal, because God's plans are prosperous, and they're not even mediocre plans. Like, we settle for things sometimes that's far below God's best, I believe. But God's plans are bigger than what we can think or imagine. And you remember Romans 12 says that God's plans are good and pleasing and perfect. There's that good and pleasing and perfect will of God. And that's where we want to walk in. And then lastly, kind of one of the things that stood out to me in this passage of Scripture, and I probably should read the whole passage of Scripture. It's Jeremiah 29, starting verse 7, says, "Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise and to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." And so that's just an amazing promise. And mm-hmm. so the thing that really stands out there in the end is that God's plan requires our obedience. Mm-hmm. And God says that, you know, we'll find him when we seek him. Mm-hmm. And when we walk in his ways, that there are plans that he has in our lives that we can't even imagine. Just like we could not have imagined that our daughter-in-law was going to buy a business mm-hmm. in Elk City, and the entire transaction happened within a 4-day period. And it happened after we had made a decision to follow God, step out in faith, to resign from SWASU. I did. My wife is still going to teach there. But to resign from SWASU and to head west, young man, I guess, as the saying goes. And so, you know, God promises that he'll be found by us. And when we spend time with him, we start to become like him. And then when we start to become like him, God can lead us into the good plans that he has for our lives. But it hinges upon that we have to seek him and find him. And I've heard people ask the question, well, if God exists, why doesn't he, and you can fill in the blank, you know, why didn't he just strike me with lightning, or, you know, why doesn't he just make all the bad things go away, or whatever the case may be. But we have to remember that in Hebrews, Hebrews 11, and I believe it's verse 6, I'm just going off my memory here, but someone will correct me, I'm pretty sure, if I'm off. I'm only off by maybe a verse or two. But anyway, the gist of it is that if you want to come to God, you have to believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that is such a powerful verse, because if you're going to come to God, you have to first believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so as we seek God, as we come to him, you know, we have to make that first step. And I think that drawing close to God and coming to him in prayer is kind of the first step. And I think I said 11:6.
11:6, that's correct.
Is it 11:6?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, it starts in 11:5. It says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives."
Yes.
That's 11:6, that last part.
So God is good, and we have to make that first initial step, and that's what God's calling us to do, is call on him, pray to him, pray for the prosperity of Elk City, pray for the blessing. And if you don't live in Elk City, maybe you live wherever you live in Western Oklahoma, pray blessing. When you walk into your workplace, pray blessing over your employer. You may not agree with everything they do. You may not agree with decisions they've made or how they spend their money, or you may not feel like, well, I'm not getting paid as much as them. Why should I pray God bless them? Well, because when they're blessed, you're blessed. Mm-hmm. Same way with your employees. If people are when you walk into your workplace, if you're a business owner or a small business owner, walk in and pray blessing over your employees and start to pray, because you know what? If your employees are blessed, your customers are blessed. If your customers are blessed, you're blessed, and it all works together for good. So if we could just have this idea that we are blessed to be a blessing, as Abraham was called, he was blessed to be a blessing. God is good, and he starts to open doors for us that we never thought could be open, or he has future plans for us that are good.
That's right. Would now be a good time, Nate, to stop and do our prayer requests?
Just a good very much point. So. Okay. Very much so.
This, let's see, I better stop and start here. Monica won't be able to get this